Welcome to Medicus, a student-run podcast about any and all things in the world of medicine. Follow along as we interview outstanding individuals about important topics in healthcare. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Medicus. This is Emily, and I am excited to be interviewing my classmate today for another MS4 Perspective series. And so now that Match Day 2023 has occurred, we are excited to hear from fourth-year medical students to discuss with them about their experiences in their chosen specialty. So in today's episode, we are interviewing a fourth-year medical student at Loyola University Chicago Stritch School of Medicine. Tate Hoffman is pursuing physical medicine and rehabilitation residency at the Medical College of Wisconsin with a prelim medicine year at UChicago North Shore. So Tate, it's great having you here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on. Longtime listener. Yeah, I've been listening off and on to Medicus since first year, probably pretty much.
Oh, wow. I don't think I knew that. Well, it's great to have you on the other side now.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't have a podcast at your medical school and not listen to it at least every once in a while, right?
I agree, but I'm a little biased. Well, again, it's great to have you here and to hear more about your journey applying and now having matched in PMNR. And I just want to say congratulations. This is really exciting.
Thank you so much. I am also excited. You know, it's the culmination of 4 years of work and 4 years of soul searching and trying to figure out where you're going. And there's definitely an awesome feeling and a crazy kind of finality to it to finally match and know what's happening and be able to picture what's going to be my next 4 years.
Definitely. It's finally like you're seeing the light at the end of a tunnel that is the conglomeration of many years of studying and feeling like the end goal is too far away, right?
Definitely.
Can you please take us through your decision to go into PMNR? What chose you to pursue this specialty? And what did that decision look like?
Yeah. So I would say that I came into medical school with a medium to strong interest in musculoskeletal medicine. I did some research in kinesiology before med school and had always really liked the musculoskeletal system. I feel like, and I still do, but felt like I could visualize it the best. And it was kind of the thing, you know, I think people talk about certain areas of medicine just make the most sense to them and they just feel the most intuitive. And for me, that was muscles and bones when I started. As we kind of moved through first year and into second year and started really delving into pathologies and systems and stuff like that, I realized that I also really liked neuro. I liked the nerves. I liked the nervous system. I think that for me, one of the things that really stands out is how completely awesome it is for me that as a clinician, you know, with a very detailed and thorough neurologic and musculoskeletal exam, you can really rely on your skills, your clinical skills and your physical exam to give you very, very specific indicators of like where people may have pathologies, where they may have problems. And then I also love the fact that, you know, the interventions are very real and can be very immediate with immediate results. I started med school thinking that I was probably maybe going to be an orthopedist. Maybe I would go through family medicine and kind of take the primary care route to sports medicine. Always kind of with the end goal of musculoskeletal care. I was talking to a mentor, I think kind of late in second year. And he said, you know, you mentioned that you really like MSK and then you said you also really like neuro. And have you heard of PMNR? You know, do you know what the specialty is? Have you thought about it? And at the time I really hadn't. But kind of that conversation was enough for me to sign up for our elective here. And which was really a great sampling of a couple weeks in pain and spine clinic. And then a really great sampling of different environments of physiatry and different kind of different settings, excuse me. In Heinz VA. And after that 1 month, I think that since then I have never looked back. I remember texting one of our classmates and saying, I'm all in, let's do it. Let's work together to make match happen. And here we are both in both in PM&R are both excited and really thrilled about the future.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that it all led to you being so confident in your decision and having found like that mentor you mentioned who aided your decision and steered you in a direction that at the time you didn't even know was possible.
Definitely. I think I'm one of those people who, you know, some attendings and some physicians will talk about mentors steering them in a direction. And I am definitely one of those people. And one of the big things for me about physiatry is just feeling like I was already a part of the community, even when I got there. And just, you know, looking around and thinking about who do I want to represent me and who do I want to represent as a physician and as a professional. And physiatry was that community for me.
Once you learned about PM&R and did that PM&R elective, how did you like really realize that PM&R was a greater interest or even, you know, a better match for you than those other specialties you mentioned?
The first thing, at least that helped me kind of check off orthopedics off the list is, like many students, you know, I had a pretty wide, I would say I still had everything on that list as a possibility going into our third year and starting rotations. About a week into my surgery rotation, I realized that the operating room is just not the environment where I felt the best and where I felt the most motivated. You know, I think that it's an amazing place to practice, but was somewhere that I just couldn't really see myself long-term. I really like procedural skills and I like procedural medicine, but I realized that maybe something that's kind of unique to me, I guess, but I was always the most interested in the procedures where patients were awake and I could talk them through it. And that kind of steered me more to like a very much more like bedside procedure focused kind of path. And so that was where I think I lost orthopedics along the way. Neurology also was mainly informed kind of by my rotation. I really, you know, loved the exam and I loved the kind of day-to-day and the intellectual medicine, I guess, in terms of like how they think about it and kind of the mental pathways and how they approach the work. But I found that I was really missing a lot of the MSK stuff and I wanted to do more with the joints and more with strength that wasn't just from my short, you know, short experience, like just to assess weakness or not. And then I would say that primary care sports was kind of the last holdout. I grew up bilingual and I really feel like I came to med school with a really strong intent to pursue a profession where I can be a resource to a lot of patients who don't have access that I believe they should. And for a long time, you know, I thought that primary care was going to be maybe the only way for me to really do that effectively. But after seeing kind of the options that I have within PM&R to still have almost like a primary care provider role for certain patients, I felt really confident that I could do what I wanted to within PM&R. And then also, I think a lot of it came down to professionally kind of making the decision based on, you know, fellowships and options down the road. I knew that if I went into family medicine, I was really going to have my eye on sports the entire time and would be kind of closing a lot of doors in that way and really setting myself on one linear route. But after my rotations in PM&R, I realized that I could see myself doing a lot of the different subspecialties within physiatry. And I found it to just be really exciting for me to still have those potentials. And so that was kind of what helped me make the final decision, I would say.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it sounds like the specialty combines many of your interests. And you mentioned that you grew up bilingual. And I know just from being, you know, your classmate that it's Spanish. So can you talk a bit about how you think you plan to incorporate your interest in connecting with patients through this additional skill of yours through PM&R?
Yeah. So I grew up, I was very fortunate to attend a bilingual elementary school. And so I think that kind of bilingual communities have always really been a big part of my life. Growing up in the Central Coast of California in a very agriculturally focused area, a lot of my classmates were part of families that had migrant workers. And I really experienced through them some of the issues that they face. You know, I had classmates who missed elementary school days to translate medical visits for their appointment for their parents, which I think is just completely wrong, to be totally honest. And then, so after college, before med school, I did a lot of community health research, and we had research participants who their participation in our research was the closest thing that these people had to primary care. And really, we were kind of facilitators for them to get the connections they needed to care. And so I think that my long-term goals are absolutely to practice bilingually. I want to live somewhere where I can use those skills frequently and where my patients can kind of count on that to be something that is helpful. You know, I think in the United States today, speaking Spanish is something that is probably helpful pretty much anywhere. I don't think that there's any areas where it won't be useful. But, you know, as a physiatrist, a lot of physiatrists basically become primary care providers for some of their patients, and specifically, you know, patients with disabilities, long-term functional impairments. I've rotated on multiple rotations. I've worked with physiatrists who have patients come in and say, you know, you're the only one who understands how my spinal cord injury ties into all of these things that I'm managing. Or you're the only one who can really kind of talk to me as if you understand the spasticity that I'm dealing with and really help me kind of actually change that. And so I think that there is absolutely a space for me to still be that kind of facilitator and connector in physiatry and still use those skills as much as I would like to.
Yeah, wow, that is amazing. I can imagine how much your future patients will appreciate your ability to connect with them. Having both attended Loyola together, and I know we've talked about this before, our hospital doesn't have a dedicated PM&R department. Once you realized your passion for PM&R, and then ultimately your decision to pursue this specialty, how did you go about, you know, really delving into the field, connecting with the people you wanted to connect with, learning as much as you could about the field?
Definitely. You know, I think that in some ways it's kind of a blessing in disguise that Loyola is not really unique in the fact that we don't have a robust physiatry department. You know, we have a couple attendings who are PM&R trained and practice in different settings. And so they have all been incredible mentors to me and to my classmates who pursued the specialty. But it's actually not really that uncommon of an experience for med students to either not have access to a kind of an acute inpatient rehab, which I would say is like, you know, the bread and butter of your inpatient physiatry. Or I've even talked to students who say, you know, there's not even a physiatrist who's associated with my school or with my school's hospital system. Like, I don't have anyone who I can connect with directly here. But as kind of an effect of that, I think that the specialty as a whole has been really welcoming to any interested students from anywhere. You know, there's a lot of students who have mentors at other programs, and some of that is through our professional organizations. Some of that is kind of grassroots through just PM&R interest groups and kind of community built stuff. We're really lucky in Chicago to have a huge PM&R fellowship that is draws from everyone across the city, but also is open to anyone in the country who's interested in attending. So the meetings are in person, they're held at Rush, but they are also held on Zoom. And so, you know, we have members from Virginia and California and kind of all the way across the country, people who are interested. And so I think that for someone who's really interested and really committed to finding it, those mentorship relationships are definitely accessible. You know, it can be a little harder depending on where people are and kind of what access they have. We're also really lucky, I would say, here at Loyola to be partnered with the Hines VA, since they have, you know, the VA is one of the largest employers of most doctors in the country, but definitely as from the PM&R side, you know, rehab is super, super strong at the VA. And so there's a bunch of attendings over there who are also super welcoming to those of us who are interested in the specialty and really excited to kind of show off what they get to do. You know, PM&R isn't on the core rotations for pretty much anywhere. But that means that when we do show up, when med students do show up on a rotation, everyone's really excited and really thrilled to get to share the specialty. And so I think that makes it a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great that you were able to find all those other resources and means of connections to the field. How did you go about learning about the organization with the meetings for students at Rush that you mentioned?
You know, I think a lot of it came from just kind of our peer-to-peer advising. I think that, you know, that's one of the things that really drew me to our med school, to Stritch School of Medicine, is just really having a great sense of a really, really strong peer-to-peer advising community. You know, within PM&R specifically, I think that we buy into it almost even a little bit more than some other specialties, because everyone kind of has to put in more effort. I've had mentorship from class people, you know, 2-3 years ahead of us, who have helped me kind of figure out some of the path and figure that out. We have a group text that has everyone from people who graduated last year to the people who are, you know, going to be applying, not this next cycle, but the cycle after that. So I think a lot of the student to student advising is really where I made those connections. And then, you know, it's kind of like just tipping the first domino of kind of opening that one door, and then through the fellowship, finding other people, and you kind of connect through those opportunities down the line.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think the peer-to-peer advising and mentorship is very special at Loyola. So that's really great that you had that opportunity. What do you think are maybe some stereotypes or assumptions of doctors who practice PM&R? I know some specialties tend to have some more stereotypes than maybe some other specialties. If any assumptions or stereotypes for PM&R come to mind, I'd love to hear. And then if you do think that there are, do you think there's truth to any of them based on your experiences in the field so far?
Yeah, you know, I would say I think the biggest one that I've encountered is people who have a little bit of a difficult time distinguishing physiatry, PM&R, from physical therapy. You know, there's the most common PM&R consult that I've witnessed is, you know, a patient who's kind of finishing up their acute stay from their injury or their ICU hospitalization or whatever it may be. And PM&R gets consulted with the basic consult question of, where should this person go? You know, should they go to an acute inpatient unit? Should they do outpatient therapy? Kind of what should we do to do this correctly? Which I think is a totally appropriate consult. And I think is, you know, a great way to bring in the experts. But it's not really everything that PM&R does. And it's not, I don't think it really does a lot of just, I don't think it does justice to physical therapy or to PM&R to equate the two. You know, physical therapists are absolutely the experts in terms of creating exercise plans and really therapy that's focused on mobility and strength and kind of addressing weakness that people may have. And PM&R physiatrists will work on the same team, and they'll kind of be a part of in the same environment. But the physiatrist is really much more focused on kind of the medical management, any procedural interventions that need to happen. Consult wise, outside of just where should this patient go, physiatrists could be consulted in the acute phase after something like a spinal cord injury or a traumatic brain injury to really start the long-term planning super early on. They also are, I would say, kind of the best facilitators when it comes to really emphasizing and utilizing the skills of so many of the professionals we work with, like occupational therapists, speech language pathologists, the physical therapists that I already mentioned, social workers, everyone who's kind of involved in that idyllic multidisciplinary team. I think that PM&R as a specialty really, really embraces that idea. And that's one of the things that's really brought me there. And so I think that, you know, that the misconception that it's really like a physical therapy focused specialty is not untrue. I would say that a physiatrist is going to be able to write the best physical therapy prescription that anyone could write in medicine. I just don't think that it captures the entire kind of breadth of the specialty. And I think part of that just kind of comes down to marketing and just the fact that the specialty is still really growing in its presence and in its kind of perception in the medical community as a whole. I think it'll get better. And, you know, I'm excited to be a part of that when it does.
I'm excited for you to be a part of it too. Yeah, with that said, I'm wondering, what do you think maybe some of the reasons are for why the specialty, you know, isn't known about among medical students when they enter, and even known or highly understood among medical professionals, even out in the field practicing? I think what you mentioned about the consults, the consult questions, speaks to maybe some like misunderstanding about the field, not exactly understanding the lines between physical therapy and PM&R. Why do you think that there might be this like underappreciation and sometimes even like misunderstanding of the roles of PM&R doctors?
You know, I think a lot of it really just comes down to exposure. You know, we do so many rotations in med school, and I think that the real kind of core objective of those rotations is for medical students to have a really, really surface level understanding of the specialties and kind of how they practice, what they do, when their opinion should be a part of a patient's care. And like we've kind of talked about so far, you know, that's just something that doesn't really exist for PM&R in a lot of med school programs. And I think that's really a big part of what it comes down to is just how many physiatrists has someone encountered in their career and kind of how much time have they really had to ask them questions about what they can do. And the other piece is that there is definitely a relatively distinct kind of separation between your kind of standard hospital and a lot of rehab spaces. You know, there's a lot of patients who will completely move, maybe not even just to a separate building, but to a completely separate organization to do their acute inpatient rehab, to do their therapies, to do receive a lot of the care that would put them in contact with the physiatrist. And so, you know, when someone is actually being transferred out of the facility, it can make it a little harder to connect. And then, like we talked about before, you know, the rotations just not existing for a lot of people or existing as an elective in one elective option out of 200 for a medical school, I think just really contribute to a lack of exposure. There's some really great opportunities, you know, like the students at Northwestern have a required rotation at the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab downtown. And I think that's awesome. You know, even just 2 weeks to really spend some time in the rehab space, see what that space can do for patients, and then hopefully kind of carry that idea with them of, you know, maybe we should consult physiatry, or maybe I should send you to a physiatrist and see what they have to say, I think is really helpful. And I think that exposure is growing. And I think that there's more and more, you know, there's been a demonstrated significant increase in interest in the field just based on application numbers compared to spots and, you know, tracking the statistics every year. And I think a lot of that is driven by people understanding the specialty a little bit more, seeing a lot of the potentials that have been kind of a diamond in the rough, so to speak, and just getting more excited about the specialty.
Yeah, awesome. I think all those reflections make really good sense to someone listening, not going into PM&R or someone who doesn't yet really know much about the field. So thanks for sharing. I'd like to now switch gears a bit and talk about your experiences matching into PM&R. What sort of things did you do or consider when applying to PM&R to make yourself as, you know, quote unquote, competitive as possible?
I think the biggest thing really kind of comes down to establishing yourself as someone who is primarily or exclusively interested in physiatry as a specialty. Historically, you know, the specialty has not been around for a super long time, but especially early on, I would say that it had, just from speaking to other attendings and folks who have come before us, I think it had more of a reputation of being like a quote unquote backup specialty or something that people would apply to as a secondary option. I think that the last couple of years have proven that that's definitely not the case anymore. And that's not something that is any kind of a reliable strategy for people. So, you know, for people who are really interested in physiatry, I think the biggest thing is to fill your application or like kind of create a narrative for yourself of really being interested in PM&R specifically. And you can do that a lot of different ways. You know, I think that there's like a couple things that I did were do away rotations or home rotations on rehab units and do rotations that are in PM&R, so that A, your transcript shows that you're interested, and B, so that you can talk about it more. You know, I think that that's one of the biggest things that I found in interviews were questions that were all phrased slightly differently, but a lot of them kind of came down to, you know, show me how much you really understand about the specialty and kind of let me see how committed you are to really pursuing this and not other options. I think that's a big piece. And then, you know, I think the other things you can do, like extracurricular options that are definitely really within the umbrella of physiatry, would be things like volunteering at adaptive sports. spending time in rehab spaces in other ways, if that is, you know, volunteering or providing social support or even just trying to connect people or kind of advertise those spaces, I think are all great opportunities outside of, you know, your classic rotations or your transcript items that can really show your interest.
Awesome. What advice were you given about away rotations? You know, you mentioned that you took advantage of away rotations. You did. What was your perception of the role of away rotations in your application?
I think that for me, the biggest thing was really demonstrating interest. But I would say that the biggest piece of advice that I would have to someone who's really kind of trying to fill out a schedule or pick rotations is that if you don't have the opportunity to work on an acute inpatient rehab unit at your home program, to really prioritize a rotation that's going to give you the opportunity to work in that space. You know, that's the bulk of most PGY2s, and then generally is a significant piece of kind of the rehab program in general when it comes to residency. It's a significant area of practice for physiatrists. And so it's something that is not everywhere, but is really important to kind of understand and have experience directly. And then I think the other piece was I was hoping and really got lucky to have some away rotations that gave me a really great breadth of experience on different services. You know, I rotated on a consult service with physiatry and just talking about, that's where a lot of kind of my experience with talking about the consults and what consults do we like and what consults do we wish we got more often. And then rotating on a team that took care of patients with spinal cord injuries, rotating on a team that took care of patients with brain injuries or medically complex, but still in an acute inpatient rehab, you know, post-transplant or post-LVAD, those kind of things that are absolutely possible within rehab, but generally people would not think could be done. And so I think that that's really the biggest goal with away rotations is to try and kind of get yourself as much exposure as you can, both just for the, you know, the core benefit of understanding it better and learning as much as you can, but also, you know, kind of more practically for, you know, the interview season and applications so that you can really talk about a wide breadth of experiences and use those to reinforce your really strong interest in the specialty, I think can only help you kind of prove to your interviewers and prove to programs that you're really committed and you really want to be there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really good advice for students pursuing any specialty for that matter. How do you think a student on a PM&R rotation can really go about excelling on the rotation and not only learning as much as, you know, you can from the patients, but also, you know, showing your interest, showing your commitment to the specialty?
I've been asked before, like, what should I study before my PM&R aways? And like, what should I go in knowing? And I think that there's kind of a blessing in disguise in that the fact that a lot of med students don't really have any exposure and don't get really any lectures, you know, don't get a lot of kind of learning about physiatry before these rotations means that there's generally not a super high expectation of someone coming in and really knowing all the ins and outs of the management of, you know, your spinal cord injury or, you know, the prescriptions for physical therapy or, you know, your medications for agitation and TBI or something like that. And so I think that there's not really too much that anyone really needs to focus on in terms of like studying and knowing when they come in. I think this is something that I would say probably about any away rotation, but is that I think that it really comes down to attitude and interest. You know, we're told that throughout med school that the best way to really be excellent is to show up and be interested and try your best. I think that that's really true for all of med school in general, but I think in physiatry, a lot of what that can look like is, you know, volunteering to present your patients at your interdisciplinary rounds. So to present kind of the medical perspective to the therapists and the rest of the team is something that not everyone does. Volunteering to have conversations with patients and really just kind of be the communicator and the representative of the team, I think can be really big. I have definitely been guilty of, and I think that a lot of med students can be guilty of kind of taking a step back in those situations and letting the resident or the attending do all the talking. And I'm not saying that someone should like bulldoze their way into every conversation or really, you know, dominate that kind of thing. But I think showing interest in trying to do that and really kind of taking ownership of those patients and their care, I think is the biggest way that I would say I feel like I found success. And then just generally, you know, having a good attitude, being nice. You know, I think one of the biggest pieces of away rotations is bi-directional, with you trying to figure out if you want to be in that space for 4 years and with those people and working there. And then them trying to figure out with you, right? Like, do they want you to be there for 4 years? And will those residents want to sit next to you in the workroom? And, you know, will they want to be there with you day in, day out, and meeting up with you after to hang out and those kind of things? So I think part of it is being really interested and engaged. And the other part is making sure that you're not faking it and just being yourself and kind of being true to your own interpretation of where you want to be.
Those are all really good pieces of advice, not just for PM&R, but all specialties in general. Sounds like you got a lot out of your away rotations and have reflected a bunch.
Definitely. I was really lucky to have 3 months of PM&R as my fall of my M4 year. And I think it was the best quarter I had in all 4 years. So it was very fun, very exciting, honestly exhausting, but some of the best times I've had in med school.
That's great. How did you go about deciding which PM&R residency programs to apply to? For a student pursuing PM&R, what do you think might be important factors to consider when choosing programs to apply to?
I think one of the biggest lessons that I learned after a year of applications and after a year of interviews and talking to people and kind of going through it is that by the end of the year, every single program that I interviewed at, I felt like they would set me up well. I would have all the training I could possibly want. I would be really in a great position to be an excellent clinician and an excellent physiatrist. And I think a lot of it came down to kind of small min-maxing pieces, like the geography of where do I want to go, or I guess more importantly, like where can I see myself living for the next 4 years and really being happy? You know, what environment do I want to be in? What environment do I want my family to be in? If you're someone who, like me, has a partner and, you know, they're also coming with you. And I think that's really crucial. If you have your eye on any specific fellowship at the end, I think it's really important to kind of make sure that you're prioritizing exposure there. So like I have an early interest in sports fellowships, and that was definitely a priority for me, making sure that I had both opportunities for kind of your standard sports exposure, things that look like, you know, high school football or whatever it may be, but then also adaptive sports opportunities, because that's something that is really kind of a highlight of PM&R. And so I prioritized those when I was looking for programs. And then I think the last thing is really just, you know, for lack of a better phrase, just trying to find the right vibes of, you know, the people that you want to be with and the community that you want to be a part of, because PM&R residency is 3 or 4 years, but either way you're looking at, I mean, basically the same amount of time you've spent in med school. And I'm really lucky in that I feel like my community has carried me this far. And so that was a huge priority for me too. You know, I mentioned I have a partner, I'm married. And so that was a big piece for me, was making sure that wherever I went was a community that was welcoming to partners and families and was going to prioritize that aspect of the residents' lives. And so that was something that I was really definitely specifically looking for and kind of making sure that I either asked questions or kind of saw as part of their materials to make sure that that was an item that was kind of matching my priorities.
Nice. Those are all really great things to consider. I really appreciate how important it was for you to consider how welcoming the program would be, you know, to your partner, and how inclusive the community in general is. You applied to residency when the, you know, aftermath of COVID was still in full force. Interviews for residency were still on Zoom. What did that look like? And do you have any advice for students about virtual residency interviewing?
So I think that there's, you know, people seem to fall kind of on either side of this question of like, should we go back in person? Should we stay online? As someone who is on a very, very, very tight budget throughout med school, I will say that I absolutely really appreciated the fact that all of these interviews are virtual. You know, I was able to, I think, see more than I could have afforded to really travel for. And then I think that it took, at least for me, a lot of the financial stress off of the middle of this year, to know that I could still have an equal shot at these programs, but not have to be feeling compelled to spend thousands of dollars to get there. You know, I think that there's a valid argument for for the drawback of you don't get to physically see the space and you don't get to have all of the smaller conversations that happen around, you know, meeting the other applicants and small talk with your interviewer or with the residents or like the in-person socials. And so I think that that's definitely a little bit tough. And it's something that, you know, I'm even going into residency feeling like I have a really good idea of what my program is going to be like, but there's always the caveat of I haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of it outside of kind of the Zoom or the online interface. I think that as far as, you know, what would I suggest for students? I think that if you can pivot a little bit of what would have been that travel budget into making sure that you have a nice setup. So, you know, a nice, nice microphone, a nice lighting, and generally either like a very neutral or an overall positive background, I think can be helpful. You know, I think a lot of that stuff is kind of small and, but is stuff that people notice. The other thing that I would say is, since you do have relatively less opportunity to see things, to try and go to whatever is available. So a lot of the programs will do socials the night before. I considered those pretty much a mandatory event for me to really kind of go. For some of the programs, it was the only time to talk to residents. And so I think kind of trying to maximize how much time you have with the people of the program is really big. And otherwise, I think that the biggest thing is just to try and do whatever you can to communicate who you are with a really compressed amount of time. You know, it's a super exhausting season of interviews, and it's totally draining to be so on and staring into a ring light all day and, you know, just really trying your best. But I think that I kind of went into it with the idea of this is my one shot and I just need to make sure that I can leave this year knowing that I tried my best to find the best fit for me. And I feel like that's what I did. And I think that, you know, it took a lot of energy, but I don't have any regrets with how I did any of it. And I think that, yeah, the biggest thing is really just trying to do whatever you can to share yourself with the program and then trusting your sense of, you know, if you leave an interview day and you feel kind of weird about it or kind of like that was a strange experience or just like your gut tells you that something was off, or the other side that something was like super amazing and that you loved it. I think that you just have to go with those and just trust that and really trust your instincts and hope that it gets you where you want to be in the end.
I think those are all really powerful takeaways from our conversation today. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask, do you have any lasting thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think that the biggest lesson that I have learned in med school and the biggest thing that I'm really trying to take with me and kind of remind myself every day and continue on into residency is that as someone who spent so much of my life before med school really focusing on my performance, contextualized kind of in the comparison to other people and really using my performance as a metric of like my evaluation of myself, I think that med school has really helped me to kind of internalize and really work on the fact that the most that I can ever do is to try my best and to show up every day and just be interested and try and keep going. I've had rough days and I've had really great days and I will continue to have those for the rest of my career, but just, you know, always focus on just trying your best. And that I think really allows for a lot of peace moving forward to be able to just reconcile with the fact that, you know, if something doesn't go as well as you wanted, or if an outcome isn't exactly what you were hoping for, as long as you know that you tried your best, then I think that it really helps to kind of process all of the crazy ups and downs that this training environment has for us. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing that I'll be trying to embody for the rest of my life, but is something that has really come to the forefront of my experience throughout med school.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I feel moved just listening. And it's clear to me that you've reflected a lot on this very crazy long journey.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really happy to have been a part of this and excited that I'm on the podcast. I've been listening to you for years.
I'm so glad that we finally got you on the show then. Well, yeah, I'm really, really happy to hear that you are a long-term fan of the podcast. And as I think about it, I do remember us talking earlier in med school about the podcast, and it's really a full circle moment that you're now on the show. So thank you so much for being here today. And I know I speak from all of our listeners that you've, you know, taught us a lot about what PM&R looks like and about advice inspired by your journey. So thanks again.
Thank you. If anyone is ever interested in talking more, you know, I'm definitely absolutely biased, but I would say this is the best specialty in medicine. So if anyone ever wants to talk about it, please don't hesitate to send me an email.
Thanks for listening to this episode. This wouldn't be possible without the support from our listeners. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate donations to help fund the production of this podcast. To support us, go to medicuspodcast.com, where you can additionally find show notes, links, and information about our guests. We are at Medicus Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you have any questions, comments, or episode suggestions, please submit them on our website. This podcast is intended for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine. No patient-doctor relation is formed, and the content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Views and opinions are their own and do not represent any organization.